Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today. So let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm Pat Sloan, and today I have a lot of quilters who like to use hand-dyed fabric. That seems to be one of the sort of threads between all three of my guests today. So, first of all, I have on Laura Wasilowski, and if you have been to any show and seen her work, you can spot it across the room now. I mean, she has a very, very distinctive style. It's very fun and playful, and her attention to detail is just amazing. And I'm really excited to have Laura on here because she is an award-winning quilter. She is the founder of the Chicago School of Fusing, which doesn't that sound like fun? You know, I want to be a graduate. So we're going to learn all about this and about Laura's life as a quilter. So hi, Laura. How are you?
Hi, Pat. How are you?
I am great. I'm so glad to have you on the show today.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation.
Oh, you know, we need to get a little backstory for you.
Okay.
You know, how exactly did you come to be a quilter?
Well, I started out as a child. Well, a lot of people start out as children, but I started out as a child. I joined the 4-H club when I was a little girl, mm-hmm. and I learned how to sew. I learned how to make garments.
Oh.
And then when I went away to college, I was in a work-study program at college, and I was placed in the costuming department because I knew how to sew. So
uh-huh.
I worked my way through school. I got a degree in costume design. Mm-hmm. But one of the skills I picked up when I was there was how to dye fabric.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, I married my husband, and we mm-hmm. moved quite a bit, and I ended up starting a small business where I would dye fabrics and make clothing.
Oh, okay.
With those hand-dyed fabrics. But we mm-hmm. when we moved to Elgin, Illinois, we moved next mm-hmm. door to a woman whose name is Janet Dye.
Oh.
And Janet is a quilt maker.
Uh-huh.
And we became very good friends, and she introduced me to the world of quilting. So the more I got to know about quilting, we would go to shows, we would mm-hmm. go to programs. I remember one of the first programs I saw was at a quilt guild near here, mm-hmm. and the presenter was Carol Breyer Fallert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and at the time, Carol...
Just an average quilter, right, Laura?
Yeah, just an ordinary gal.
Yeah.
But a very sweet person, a very generous person.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned from Carol was that I could take those fabrics I was dyeing, mm-hmm. and instead of making clothing, I could make quilts with them. So it's a long, you know, it took a long time for me to get to that point, but people helped me along the way. A lot of different people helped me along the way. So that's how I got where I am today.
Wow, that's like a very interesting journey, because mm-hmm. were hand-dyed clothing really popular, or were you sort of in a niche area?
Well, I was in a niche area. I was hand-dyeing fabric and printing and doing a lot of surface design work mm-hmm. with silk screens and stamping.
Oh, okay.
And that was my big interest, was mm-hmm. surface design. And then another friend came along and said, why don't you teach a class in how to make these jackets that you're designing with your hand-dyed fabric? And mm-hmm. so that was really my first chance at teaching. I taught at a local art center called the Fine Line here in Illinois, mm-hmm. and they gave me my first teaching job. So this all happened about the same time I was learning about quilting.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So do you still make clothes?
No. I'm way over that. I
retired from that.
I like to buy them myself.
Yes, yes, yeah. It's a lot faster that way. That's
oh,
what
yeah.
I find. Yeah.
Yeah.
So did you ever make a traditional patchwork quilt? Did you ever, or did you just start right in with more applique and your sort of style, your unique style?
Well, I have made patchwork quilts. I made the first ones I made in high school. We had just moved to Minnesota from Colorado, Mm-hmm. Colorado is where I learned how to sew, and we moved to Minnesota and lived on a farm, and it was cold out there. So I started making quilts kind of for the family and myself. Mm-hmm. One of the first quilts I made, I remember, was made out of wool skirts, old wool skirts.
Oh, wow.
It was so heavy. It was like sleeping under a lead blanket. It was just wonderful.
Well, I hear you need that in Minnesota. So.
Oh, yeah. So, yes, I've made traditional piece quilts. I'm just not very good at it. So I leave that up to the experts who really know what they're doing. And I could make a serviceable quilt, but I couldn't make anything that's, you know, really worthy of exhibiting.
So let's talk a little bit about the Chicago School of Fusing. You know, what is it? How did it come about? You know, what is that?
Well, I noticed in your introduction that you said I was a founder, but really I did not come up with that name.
Oh, okay.
Many years ago, Robbie Eklow, who is also from Illinois, was, I don't know if she was taking a class, but in some way she was visiting with David Walker, who was an artist out of Ohio. And they were discussing how in our area, in the Chicago area, there were all these people that were making these quilts, and they were using fusible web. They were fusers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Robbie's pretty witty and funny, and she said, yeah, we're kind of like the Chicago School of Architecture, you know, that genre of architecture, but really we are the Chicago School of Fusing.
Uh-huh.
So she and David kind of came up with this, and I talked about it with her, and I kind of ran with it and kind of evolved the mission statement and the history of the school and that type of thing.
So you actually have some stuff on your website also, like on your, well, I guess it's on your blog, on artfabric.blogspot.com. You can click to the fusing tips, which talks all about the Chicago School of Fusing Etiquette 101.
Yes, that's right. There's on the website, artfabric.com, there is actually a page devoted to the Chicago School of Fusing. If you look at the top, it's a CSOF page.
I see it. I'm on there.
And that's where you find the history, the mission statement. You can get a badge if you want to, if you're a graduate, even if you're not a graduate. And you can, in fact, Pat, if you want to become a graduate, then you can join our Alumni Association and send me $50 a year.
Oh, okay, a year. Yeah. All right, yes, I got it.
Nobody's done it, but
yeah, I was gonna say we need some fabric in return for that 50.
Yeah, that's right. So we've had a lot of fun with it. There's several, you know, the gals in our area are really into it, and we're having a good time with it. So it's, I just want everybody to know that it's not a real building. It's not a real, because occasionally I get people calling up to say they want to come to visit it, and it's not. Yeah. It's a virtual school. How's that?
Yes, there you go. It's just a philosophy.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
Yes. It's so a lifestyle, the Chicago School of Fusing. I could be in that, I think.
I think so, you could.
So tell me a little bit about your style has changed, because you've been doing this a while, and I think all quilters, we change. You know, a lot of us will start with one thing and then it just evolves because you try new techniques. And how has your quilting changed recently that you can think of?
Well, recently what I've noticed is that I work a lot smaller now. I make small fused art quilts, and they are usually hand-stitched. Almost all of them are. The addition of hand embroidery makes them different from what I was doing maybe 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So I have a hard time making big quilts now. I don't have the time. I travel and teach so much. Mm-hmm. And I get a lot of satisfaction out of making something that I can take with me, something that's small that I can show my students, so I don't have to pack something large, and something that I can add hand stitchery to. That's really important to me right now, is the hand embroidery on the quilt.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk a little bit before. I want to talk about that in the next segment. Talk more about the handwork that you're doing. But tell me a little bit about the thought process to enter a quilt into an exhibit or a competition? Because you've done quite a bit of that over the years. And I think it's, you know, that's how I first saw your work, Laura, was hanging in shows.
Yeah, I haven't entered as many lately, but I do encourage people to do it. It's a good way to get your name out there. It gives you a goal, you know, something to work toward. When I was doing it more intensely years ago, I kept a sketchbook, and I had a lot of ideas, a lot of plans, mm-hmm. and I would kind of, you know, work towards a specific show. So if it was mm-hmm. the you know, International Quilt Festival in Houston, I knew what the deadlines were, I knew what the size minimums or maximums were, and I would work that way, thinking ahead, you know, several mm-hmm. months or a year. And it was good for me. It helped me develop my style. It gave me something to work for and something to look forward to. So I encourage people to do that. I'm not as much into it right now because of mm-hmm. other things that are going on, like mm-hmm. actually traveling.
Traveling, yeah. You're not home to even work on anything.
That's... Yeah, I am working on, I'm working on one large quilt right now that I'm a member of SACA, S-A-Q-A, the Studio Art mm-hmm. Associates, and I was accepted into an exhibit called Seasonal Palette, and mm-hmm. this quilt is maybe 38 inches by 78 inches, something like that, 32 by 78. Mm. And I've been working on this for several months, and I'm really enjoying it. So this is my goal now is to start exhibiting more in that organization and mm-hmm. other gallery type thing.
And when you do that, you do all your own quilting as well. You know.
Oh, yeah. I dye the fabric. I fuse it. I you know, free cut it, and then I do all the machine quilting. If it's a small quilt, I do all the hand stitching and then machine work too.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Okay, so we have about 30 seconds. Tell me, then we're going to take a break, Laura, and you'll come back.
Okay.
Tell me real quick, why did you do so many chair quilts? I love the chair quilts.
Oh, I have a beautiful chair, a beautiful blue chair in my living room. I love it. Mm-hmm. I love the shape and the color, and it's like a friend. So that's why I made it.
Yes, we have several, but you can see them on Laura's website. So we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about your new book and about handwork and about travel and your workshops. So this is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting. Come back after the break with Laura Wasilowski.
To find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines, go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anila Hoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Quilting tips and instructions for web-exclusive projects free every week, delivered to your inbox. Sign up today for your free weekly e-newsletter at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we're talking to Laura Wasilowski. And Laura, I'm so excited about your new book. Is this going to have all the stitches that you've been doing lately and showing on your blog and everything?
Yeah, the book is called Fanciful Stitches, Colorful Quilts, and it's published by the best publisher in the world, C&T Publishing. And it has stitch diagrams. It shows you what stitches I use on, I think there's 11 projects in the book. It tells you what stitches to use where. And they're all, you know, they're simple hand embroidery stitches that you probably learned as a girl, like the running stitch, the lazy daisy, French knots, and that type of thing.
You know, tell me, can we just talk a little bit about stitching, hand stitching through the fusible products? Because there's a lot of different products on the market that you can fuse fabric to fabric. And, you know, there must be some tips, because you do this so much, to be sure that you can needle through that easily.
Yes, when you work with a fusible web, I'm usually working with Wonder Under number 805, or I would work with Misty Fuse, one of those brands. When you're finished with your composition, what you want to do is steam set the glue, and you steam set it to the non-scrim side of the batting so it doesn't ripple. And once that glue is steamed for about 10 seconds across the surface, it does something that changes the glue somehow so that it makes it easy to stitch through. The fabric is bonded really well. A few other things you want to keep in mind when making a fused art quilt is that because it's a heat-activated glue, you don't want to expose the fabric or the glue to too much heat for too long.
Right.
So when you construct, you only, you tack things into place for a few seconds of heat. And then when you're done, then you steam set it. And stitching, I can go through maybe three or four layers of fused fabric easily with my embroidery thread and needle. But it depends on, you know, how strong your fingers and hands are, I suppose. Yeah.
Now, you're actually taking, let's say you have a square, 12 by 12 square that, you know, just for talking purposes, and you've fused down a you know, flowers or whatever. And then you're taking that cotton and fusing it to the batting before you stitch?
Yes. Usually I make my quilt on released paper, silicone released paper. Silicone release paper is the paper that comes with fusible web, with the Wonder Under. So after I will fuse yards of fabric, big pieces of fabric, I take that paper off, I save the paper, then I'll make my composition on the paper, I'll cut shapes and put it, fuse it back onto the composition. When I'm done with the composition, I pull it off the paper and put it to the non-scrim side of the batting and fuse it to the bat, steam it to the bat.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
I haven't worked like that before. So, and I don't really do a lot of hand work on my fusible projects, but I really like that idea. It's a, you're doing everything all at once then, with giving it the texture and everything.
Yes. Also, it gives you the option, if you build your quilt on released paper, it gives you the option of changing the size. You could make it bigger if you want. If you build on right on batting, you're limited to that size of the bat. So I can make my quilts larger by adding more paper, but I can't add more batting.
Yeah.
So it just is a little, you know, way to make things bigger if you want to.
Ah. Well, let's talk a little bit about your classes. You know, you teach all over the world, and you must have had some great adventures. And can you share a few really fun things that you've experienced in your travels?
Well, you're right. I have taught around the world. I've taught in the UK and Spain, and I love Spain. It was wonderful. I always learn so much from my students. I learn more from them sometimes than they learn from me. In Spain, I learned how to stay up until midnight and eat dinner at 10 o'clock at night and how to roll my R's and stuff like that. But and I've taught in across the United States and in Canada. I've taught in Japan, which was really interesting. I've taught there several times. I really loved the Japanese people as well. They were very kind and took such good care of me when I was there. And I had one adventure when I was in Japan. I was over teaching with my friend Melody Johnson, and I were teaching together, and we had a day off, and our hostess took us to Kyoto, the city of beautiful city of Kyoto, and we had this day off, so they took us to a little shop, and we got dressed up as geisha, and we wore the wigs and the dresses, or the kimono and the shoes, and but they also, before we got dressed, they put white makeup all over my face, all over my face. And I was laughing so hard. I was just laughing so hard that I had rivulets going down my eyes. But my friend Melody was very calm through this whole process. And she, we were sitting there as they're putting the makeup on, and we're looking in the mirror. And I look at Melody and I said, Mel, I look like Marcel Marceau. And I was laughing, and she said, no, no, Laura, you don't look like Marcel Marceau. You look like Benny Hill. So that was one of our adventures, and I have some great photos of me dressed up as a beautiful geisha woman, and it's you can barely tell that it's me. But I love traveling. I guess I have a love-hate relationship with travel. I love traveling. I love to meet the people. I love the opportunity to see new places and meet new people. But I really don't like getting on the airplane and carrying bags and all that stuff. So there's good parts and bad parts to the travel.
Yeah, and then if you stay home, you don't get to see anybody or anything. So, right?
Yeah. Most of my friends are quilt people, people I see when I'm bending or teaching, and I make a lot of new friends this way, too. So it's a great, occupation. It's a great way to make a living and also enjoy yourself at the same time.
Now, you have out on your website the itinerary of where you'll be, right?
Yes, there's a schedule. I have a workshop and lectures page, and at the top of that you'll see a schedule, and that tells where I'm coming and going from.
Okay. And I just want to give your website again. I want to spell it as artfabrik.com, and from there you can get to all of Laura's things. So, Laura, when you go to a show, I'm always like to ask people this. Is there something particular that you're drawn to look at if you're at a big quilt show, one that has a lot, like a Houston type of show?
Well, usually the first thing I want to see are the quilts. The art quilts mostly, because those are my contemporaries. Those are the people that I'm most familiar with. Mm-hmm. So I usually go, I tour the exhibits. Then, of course, I go to the vendors. I see what's new there. We vend at, my friend Frida Anderson and I vend at Paducah and at the Houston show. And one of the biggest best things about those shows is that you see people. I mean, it's this giant gathering of friends, and it's a great way to meet up with people and catch up with people. So I like seeing the quilts and I like shopping, but meeting the people, my friends, is what the best part really for me.
So what does your studio look like, Laura?
Yeah. You mean right
like
now?
Like everybody else's?
It's pretty bad right now. I actually have two rooms. I work in the basement level of my house. I work in the lower level. And there's a large laundry room. And that's where I dye the fabric. So this is a dye week. I'm dyeing fabric this week. So that means that there are buckets and trays of dyed fabric, and it's just a real mess. I mean, it's not safe for anybody to be in here right now. And the other room is a sewing room where I have two machines set up. I have a design wall. I have a place to store my quilts. And I have a large table at the right height that is covered with Teflon, and that's where I make the quilts. I fuse on the Teflon or on release paper. Mm-hmm. So that's a really, that one's a little bit, that's cleaner. It's a clean room, but it's not very neat. There's stacks of stuff everywhere. I've been traveling. I just got back from teaching on a cruise. It takes me about a week to get, you know, back into things. And I'll start traveling again this Sunday. I'll be gone most of March. So before I leave on Sunday, I'll have things cleaned up again. And when I come home, things will be pretty neat in the studio. I did a tour of my studio on the blog about a week or two ago. So you can see actual pictures on the artfabricblogspot.com.
Real live pictures. Of
real live pictures. And people will get an idea of just how much of a slob I really am.
What's creativity happening? That's what it's all about. Yeah.
Thank you, Pat. You're very kind.
Yeah. And do you ever do you ever use fabric that's not hand-dyed now?
Yes.
You know, you do still.
Oh, yeah. I buy batik fabrics. Mm-hmm. I use, on the smaller quilts, I use batiks a lot, kind of as a frame for the center composition, and occasionally for some of the elements in the design. Batik fabrics and my hand-dyed fabrics have an affinity for each other. They're kind of that mottled look, you know. When I buy batiks, though, I'm mostly interested in things that have a finer patterning to them, like dots or small, not too graphic. But I really like batiks. And I do have other fabrics that I buy just because I love them, but I don't use them in my work very often. I do. I buy silk, though. I love silk.
Ooh,
silk fabric, yes. It's very wonderful.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. I haven't bought any of that yet, so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to see you in Paducah.
That's good.
Yeah. So I will come and say hello and.
Yeah, we're in booth 1905, Frieda Anderson and myself, and you'll see us in the main convention hall on the wall. We're up against the wall.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. The fun girls. That's
the fun girls up against the wall. So come see us.
Well, thank you, Laura, for being here. This has been most amazing and wonderful.
Thank you, Pat. I enjoyed it.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs, and baby's going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and we are here with another guest, all about fiber this time, and fabric, and dyeing, and everything in between. I have Vicki Welsh from Field Trips in Fiber. That's her site, and she is not only dyes her own fabric, but she's an avid quilter and a blogger, and I know a lot of you follow her blog and her work. Hi, Vicki. How are you?
You.
Hey, I'm glad you're here.
I am too. Thanks for inviting me.
So your blog is just so much fun. You're always doing, yeah, you are. You've always got something going on. You share wonderful things about your work. Tell me a little bit about how you got into dyeing your own fabric.
I got into dyeing fabric about 10 years ago, and honestly, I got into it reluctantly. A friend of mine had taken classes, and she wanted us to spend a day dyeing, and I had no interest in it whatsoever, but she forced me to do it. And on day two, I got up and at 7:30, and I was going, well, let's go. It's time to go. We have to dye. So I was hooked.
That sounds like how my quilting was. I didn't want to learn to quilt, but after like the first class, it's like, okay, can we come every day and do this? This is fun.
I know.
So what is the process that you use to dye fabric? I mean, I know there's lots of different ways. Are you like, you know, you're probably more professional level dyeing because you sell your hand dyes, which are just absolutely beautiful.
Well, I use the Procyon MX dyes, which are great for cotton and all natural fibers, rayons and silks and that sort of thing. And I use I primarily use a low water immersion technique, but I'm starting to get into some vat dyeing as well.
So what kind of, like a lot of the people haven't really bought hand dyes. You know, there's a lot of quilters out there, they haven't encountered
it,
or, you know, maybe they've bought some, but they haven't used it yet. You know, when you've bought some from a person like yourself, you know, what does the quilter need to know about these fabrics?
Well, I think that, of course, if there are quilters, which are a lot of my customer base, they are very comfortable working with hand-dyed fabrics, and they know how to use them and are not afraid of them. I think a lot of traditional quilters are kind of afraid of hand-dyed fabrics, mostly because hand-dyed fabrics are expensive, and they have a tendency for the color to run, and people worry about the color fastness of the fabrics. And what I've done in my dyeing is I've done a lot of research on my processing to make sure that my fabrics are color fast and they will not run, so they can be used just like all of your regular fabrics, you know, in your quilts, and you don't have to worry about them.
Oh, good.
And the process that I use, which is it's nothing magical, it's just a soaking process with very, very hot water. I actually have a tutorial on my blog so that people can use that, because it works on commercial fabrics as well. If you have a fabric that's being very difficult and the color is still running, you can put it through this process and it will get all the excess dye out so you can safely put it in your quilt. And I've had two people just in the last month who used the process on finished quilts where they washed them and the fabric
and
ran
happened.
And they used this process and it got all the excess dye out of their quilt.
Okay, well, give your site name so everybody can...
So they can go to VickiWelsh.com, V-I-C-K-I-W-E-L-S-H, .com, and there's a tab up at the top called Tutorials, and down that page in the Surface Design section, they'll see, you know, how to make sure your fabrics are color fast.
Cool. Now, you've told me that people have written you that have used your fabrics for a few fun projects. Tell me what those are again.
Well, one of the benefits of my fabric shop is on Etsy, and one of the benefits of having a shop on Etsy is that, you know, people go to Etsy to just search for anything, so you don't necessarily find fiber artists. Mm-hmm. And so I had someone find an image of one of my gradient fabrics, and they wanted mm-hmm. to use it as the background for a CD cover, which they did, and it was very cool.
Oh, neat.
Recently, I did a 8-foot length of fabric in my blue sky gradient, but it was mm-hmm. just oriented differently mm-hmm. for a man in Texas who wants to use it as an aquarium background.
Mm.
I've had people
okay.
use it for lampshades. I have mm-hmm. people buy it and frame it and hang it on the wall. Mm-hmm. And probably the strangest one was I had a woman who wanted me to dye a bridesmaid's dress for her in one of my gradient patterns. So it was a bridesmaid's dress with 7 colors on it.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was for a very hippie-type wedding.
Oh, and, well, I'd hope so, right.
Yeah, yeah. And that dress got a lot of very interesting comments on my blog the day I posted it.
Yeah, I can imagine. A bit the vision that person had.
Yeah, it was a vision, all right.
Yeah, okay. So when, you know, Vicki, tell us a little bit about the quilts that you make. Unlike Laura, the quilts that you make for yourself and that you share on your blog are a little bit more traditional.
I am much more of a traditional quilter. I like patchwork. I'm just recently started getting into doing some applique. Mm-hmm. And I like to do a lot of blending of hand dyes and commercial print fabrics. Mm-hmm. Although my first full quilt that I made with hand-dyed fabrics was my first hand-dyed color palette mm-hmm. was actually on exhibit at the Mid-Atlantic Quilt Festival this weekend.
Ah, how fun is that?
Yeah, it was great.
Neat. Yeah, I didn't get down to that one. That's about 3.5 hours south of me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to go this year, but I have lots of friends who were there, so I'm sure that they
it's great for me because I'm just south of you in Richmond, and so it's an hour and a half to get down there, so it's a great day trip.
Cool. Well, you and I were talking back and forth, and one of the things that you told me was that, a while back you took a color workshop with Jean Ray Laurie, which mm-hmm. must have been absolutely phenomenal. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Oh, yeah. It was an amazing class. It was probably, it had to be at least 10 years ago. It was when Mid-Atlantic mm-hmm. was still in Williamsburg.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I was just looking, you know, again, I seem to trip into everything that happens to me in my life. I don't seem to plan very well. But I was looking for a class to take, and I didn't want to take my sewing machine. So I was only looking at classes that didn't have sewing machines, and there was mm-hmm. this color theory class. I didn't know who Jean Ray Laurie was, but mm-hmm. I thought, well, you know, what the heck? I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't figure out what you could possibly do that would take an entire day to learn
uh-huh.
about color. And, of course, I walk out of the class, and I'm going, oh, my God, I need 5 more days. I'm not
right.
done. But she was just a phenomenal teacher and really opened my eyes to color. And, you know, like most quilters, I put things together either based on maybe I saw a pattern that I liked, and so I made mm-hmm. that pattern from the colors mm-hmm. that were on the pattern cover, or I would buy a set of fabrics that all went together in a collection.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had a quilt that didn't work, you know, every once in a while we put something together, the fabrics look great when you lay them out, and then you mm-hmm. put the quilt together and it doesn't quite work.
Mm-hmm.
Her class is what taught me to help me figure out why my quilts weren't working or what did work or what didn't work. And it really started for me almost a self-study course in color theory.
Okay.
And I followed that up a few years later with a 2-day value class with Hollis Chatelain. And
wow.
then since then, I've read probably 6 textbooks on the topic. And I've started doing a series of posts on color theory on my blog on Friday
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that I'm hoping to run throughout the whole year to just talk about color theory and how it applies to quilters and fiber artists and how we can use it.
Those are great posts, Vicki. I mean, they're just wonderful. This is a perfect segue. Tell us about the color palette challenge now
that you're doing. That is true because the color theory posts actually were a result of the starting the color palette challenge with Judy mm-hmm. Laquidara, who was on your mm-hmm. show last week, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
And she does, you know, she does all kinds of things on her blog. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to do a color palette challenge, and so I offered to create the color palette for her. They're based on photographs, and she has mm-hmm. one every month. She posts the color palette on the first day of the month, and then the first day of the mm-hmm. following month, you can link up your project. So whatever uh-huh. it is, it can be a small project, it can be a quilt, it can be whatever. You link mm-hmm. it up, and then there's the winner drawn, and they get some of my hand-dyed fabric. And then along with my color theory post, I do some posts about how to go about selecting colors, you know, from this mm-hmm. particular color palette. And so to try, you know, spend a year in talking about color and how we use it and how we can use it.
I really, really like that because I have a particular book that has all kinds of color palettes in it that I bought years before the internet had sort of that available.
Right.
But now, you know, when you start like looking inside of like a design or maybe a tile work or something, there's a lot of colors in there.
Right. And even when you buy a fabric that you think is it's mostly a dark red and black fabric. Mm-hmm. And when you mm-hmm. look, if it's a print and you look closely at it, there might be a little bit of gold or a little bit of blue running through it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I think that's a challenge for us as quilters is how fabrics play with each other.
Mm-hmm.
They may, you know, they look like they should go together very well, but when you put them next to each other, one of them changes color.
Yeah,
And so it's understanding that and just getting some confidence, giving people some confidence in picking their own palettes for their quilt, so they don't have to make the quilt that's on the pattern cover. Look at that pattern and think about how you can make it in a completely different color palette.
Yeah, I think it's just that people should be following you on this. You have to follow Vicky because it really is amazing. She's got some really eye-opener things that if you've just sort of not thought about it, it'll get you thinking, huh, Vicky?
I think so. I hope so. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
We'll see if it does.
So you also do a newsletter. Tell us about your newsletter.
I do. I have a monthly newsletter that comes out on the 5th of the month, and people can sign up for that again on my blog. It's up at the top. And I really just I have these fabric palettes that I put together every other month that I sell, and it's a complete collection of fabrics that go together, and they usually have a gradient to go with it. So I talk about my fabric palette. I talk about other new products that I have going on. I sometimes have tutorials or product reviews, and I always end the newsletter with some sort of inspirational art site. And
cool.
So I put those out every month. And then I also have on my blog, I have a lot of tutorials.
You do. You're very, very generous. You have a large page full of things people can experiment on.
Yeah. You know, some of them have to do with surface design, but a lot of them are just projects. And people who look at it know that I'm sort of in the middle of a big placemat kick. I'm really enjoying making placemats at the moment.
I know. People really get to know you that way, don't they? It's like, okay, Vicky's on the placemat thing
now.
That's
right. Okay. It is amazing how you can meet other bloggers and you know them. You really do know them from the personality that they put forth on their blog. So,
well, Vicky, this has been so much fun. I thank you for being here.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. This is your host, Pat Sloan.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at patternspot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to patternspot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, patternspot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. About our newest online sweepstakes and contests and how you can enter at allpeoplequilt.com/promos.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts and More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting, and today the theme running through all of my guests is a little bit of hand-dyed fabric. And I have got another wonderful, wonderful textile artist, Malka Dubrowski, and her website is astitchanddye.blogspot.com, and I am so excited to have Malka come on here and talk about her love of fiber. She has books. She has fabric with Moda. We're going to talk about the whole thing. So hi, Malka. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
I am so fine. I'm really, really excited to have you here.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
So tell me a little bit about why you love playing with textiles, because you have worked with fibers forever.
Yeah, actually, I mean, probably like 20 years. I actually have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in printmaking, mm-hmm. and I finished school, and printmaking, I loved it. It requires an immense studio and a lot of money, and I couldn't go on making prints, and I felt like some of the prints that I made really reminded me of quilts, though in all honesty, I knew nothing about quilts. I didn't even know how to sew or own a sewing machine.
Oh no.
But hey, don't let that stop you.
That's right.
But still, I decided to kind of figure out, basically kind of teach myself how to piece something, how to sew, and eventually came to a point where I wanted to not just, you know, piece something together. I really made like one traditional quilt, but to kind of control exactly what kind of fabrics went into the quilts that I made, or even kind of investigate surface design kinds of things. And I did that for a lot of years. My quilts were definitely kind of wall pieces. They were meant to be, you know, art versus functional stuff. And there just came a point where I wanted to, you know, kind of take that actually to the, in my opinion, to the next level, which is to connect it to people. That's one of the things I love about textiles is it feels very connected to people, as opposed to maybe some of the other kind of arts where people feel a little bit more distance from it. So that's what brought me to textiles.
I know, and I quilt so that I can play with fabric.
Right.
Yeah, because I'm not very good at clothes. I've tried that. It's
Well, I like to call them, I'm an extremely selfish seamstress, you know? So if I'm going to sew, it's going to be for me. Sew clothes, it's going to be for me. And frankly, a lot of the quilts that I keep are, you know, stuff that we use at home. But other than that, they go on to find their own homes.
So tell me a little bit about what your quilt style is. Once you decided to buy that sewing machine, which I assume you bought at some point, you got a sewing machine.
Yeah, I did buy one. So, you know, I think almost everybody who's ever sewn has this experience where you really should have invested in a decent machine, but instead you went to some garage sale and bought some $45 machine and really kind of cursed it from the moment you came home and then invested in the decent machine. But once I got over the $45 machine, I think my style is very, I love color. And I think that part of that comes from having come out of an art school background and feeling like gaining that confidence that, you really can do almost anything with color, that there aren't colors that don't work together. So I think that, you know, I have a real kind of free
approach to using color. Mm-hmm. But I also think that I like piecing. I almost never do any applique. I can't even remember the last time I did it. I like piecing. I like improvisational piecing. I just like to cut the fabric and put it together and then see what happens and see if I need to add or delete. And I teach quite a bit about working that way, working very in a very free kind of way.
Yeah. A little
like
bit more like
an
intuitive, you know, you just doesn't look good. You change it.
Right. And you can change it because after all, it's just fabric, you know?
Right.
I mean, I know that people are really attached to their stashes and I understand that, but it really is just fabric. So, you know, I think that if you make a mistake, it's really not the end of the world. So,
no. So at one point you have fabric with Moda now. So you went from dyeing your own and you've taken that style now and put it into fabric that we can buy.
Right.
So tell us a little bit about your fabric line.
My fabric line is very much like for years, and I still actually make and sell hand-dyed fabric. That I use a wax-resist technique. I talked about it in my first book, Color Your Cloth. It's just batik, basically. But what I wanted to do was take this kind of ancient technique. I don't know. It's certainly an old technique. Perhaps it's not ancient. And apply it to much more graphic, contemporary, fresh images. And also use materials that were readily available to people because I wanted to make a point that this was a process that if somebody wanted to take on, they could take on in their own home. It wasn't something that you needed a big studio to do. It was something that I was doing in my home or in my garage, and they could too. So the designs that I came up with are they're very geometric. They're very, like I said, very contemporary, very graphic, very fresh. Very usable for today's modern quilter or modern sewer. I mean, I could certainly see somebody who sews clothes or other home deck items using these fabrics for that. And I wanted them to be very fun, you know, I mean, very free. So I think that I'm really happy with the line that came out.
And what's the line is this the Stitch and Color?
It's called the Stitch and Color, yeah.
Right. And is that on the market now that people
It's on the market, but it is going so fast.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things I love is like some of your designs. I'm looking at your Etsy store and you have this pillow that's yellow with these great, it's like a bright canary yellow with these great big aqua circles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that your hand dye or is that?
That is my hand dye. You know how I make those circles? I just use little letterpress blocks since you have to have a stamp that you can hold in wax, the way you create the resist is with wax. I just super glue corks onto the back of these letterpress blocks and make a stamp out of it, you know? And then I can dip it in the wax safely without obviously putting my hand in wax, which is pretty darn hot. And I stamp, I have even bigger letterpress blocks, you know, that, again, I've affixed some corks or whatever, some kind of handle to, and that's the way I make all my patterns with either, I mean, I do use a traditional batik tool called the jaunting tool for some of my patterns, but most of them are made with things that you would buy at the grocery store, vegetables, potatoes that have been cut into, cardboard that's been fashioned into all sorts of geometric shapes.
Yeah. Well, that's easy then.
Oh, yeah. And cheap.
Yeah, cheap, right. Yeah, the potatoes, you know, you do that in elementary school even. So
But it is the greatest stamping tool, whether it's in elementary school or otherwise. I mean, it is it's versatile. I mean, you could use a potato to make, you know, like cards. You could use a potato for this process. You could use a potato to direct apply paint or fabric dye to fabric, you know. And
so what goes on at your blog so that, you know, I think it's very fun. I think you're very generous. You share a lot about what you do. You know, how often do you blog? What do you like to talk about there?
Usually I talk about mostly, you know, projects or just things that are, you know, happening in terms of what I've put out there. Or I do sometimes kind of, you know, veer off into little bits of my life. But I do try to keep it mostly about my work or other people's work that I like or, you know, inspirations that I've come across that I think other people would be interested in. I do ideally try to blog 2 or 3 times a week. Sometimes I go a full week every single day and I I'll walk away, I'm so proud of myself, and then the next week, not so much. I do try to blog consistently, and I have a pretty steady group of people that read my blog and give me great feedback, and it's a wonderful opportunity to have a conversation with other people who craft.
Yeah, and you did a really fun giveaway of a pillow that you made just recently here.
Actually, it wasn't the pillow, it was the fabric. Marmalade Fabrics, one of my sponsors, had a layer cake, which is Moda's. They're like 10 by 10 inch squares
right,
of every
right,
single
okay.
piece in my collection. And so, but I didn't have, I had a charm pack, so they're 5 by 5 inch squares. And I just wanted to feature a pattern that actually is from my book, Fresh Quilting, but blown up larger because now it's utilizing these 5 by 5 inch squares in kind of a neutral gray. It's a way to kind of feature the fabric, which is very vibrant and colorful, in a very simple pattern, but not have it be so intensely colorful that you can't use it. And
right.
I can honestly say that at this very moment, my daughter is laying her feet on this pillow. So
I like it with the gray. I like your
yeah.
I'm learning to like gray, Malka. That hasn't been my go-to color. So I'm starting to enjoy it.
It's
Do
a
you
good
use a
neutral.
Lot of gray?
Yeah, I think it's a good neutral for intense saturated colors, you know. White is almost too non-existent. Gray is a nice kind of middle shade, I think. And I think I think about recreating that same idea with a layer cake, so the blocks themselves would be 10 by 10 inches, the blocks that the print blocks would be, but and I could see doing it with a gray linen, because then you've got not only that kind of neutral color, but you've got the nice texture of the linen kind of contrasting the smooth texture of the printed cottons.
Oh, that would be very nice. I like linen a lot. I like the I like the texture in the fabric versus the solids that are just so smooth. So you teach. Tell me a little bit about your teaching. Do you go all over the place? People can contact you?
Absolutely, and I do. I'm going to Houston in a couple weeks. I'm going to Dallas in April. I've been, to Chicago and to California a couple times, and so I do go all over the place. I do also teach locally at a fabulous store we have here, Stitch Lab, on South First Street. Wanted to give a plug for my beloved Stitch Lab.
And you have a link to them on your blog so that people can go there.
And they carry my fabric, but they carry lots of fabulous fabric, and so if you're local, you should definitely check it out.
Is where?
Local is Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just kind of assume, who doesn't know Austin?
I don't think we told them yet where you were. So
yeah.
So that's great. That's great. And also you have, we have just about, 20 seconds or so. You have a lot of hobbies. One of them is you're very athletic.
Yeah. I actually write about that periodically in my blog. Big runner. And I swim, and I'm even thinking about doing a triathlon. I do yoga. So, I do pretty much one of those things, or sometimes more than one, every single day. So.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you're my hero. I'm going to have to come in and see if it rubs off on me if I stand real close to you,
Oh, it's a lot of fun. I'll take you for a run, Pat. It'll
oh, my
be fun.
Gosh. I don't know about that. Well, we could go. You may have to, visit me afterwards in the hospital, so I'm not sure I'd make it.
We can
so,
go
Malka, this has been wonderful to have you on the show.
Well, it was fun for me, too.
Okay, well, I will see you at the next big event, at least at Market. So
yes, definitely at Market.
Okay, good.
All right.
This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Come back next week, where we'll have all new guests. And visit our website, allpeoplequilt.com. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening.